Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy. Good morning, everybody. It's been a great day here in Kiowa, Colorado. We've had some great weather the past few days, except for a little bit of wind, but today it is beautiful out there, and I pray that your day is just as beautiful. If you're joining us live online for the first time, whether it's on Vimeo or Facebook or YouTube or our website, or maybe you're just listening on Spotify or any of the other major podcasting places, we're glad you're here. Save the Cowboys is a sick pen for sinners, not a show ring for saints. And we're not here to say, look at us. We're here to say, look at God. Every single bit of this will be about following God and Jesus Christ, and I hope that you will be blessed by it. So before we get going any further, let's go to God in prayer. God, I thank you so much for who you are, what you did, and how much you love us. God, you demonstrate these three things each and every day. And God, I just pray that we have the eyes to see it, the ears to hear it, and the heart to know that your love for us is ununderstandable. Like, it's just impossible to understand your love. But God, we acknowledge it, and we look forward to it, and we look to it for our strength and for our guidance. And God, I pray a blessing, as your word says in Revelation, that this is the only book that I am blessed by it to teach it, and that everybody else is blessed to hear it. And God, let's take these words to heart as we study Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we got a lot to do, a lot to do. Revelation is the finished story, I guess you could say, of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most people think that Revelation is about the Antichrist and about this and about that, and that's it. Those things are in there. But this is the story of Jesus, right? Because remember, Jesus came to this world the first time to do what? Save it. He's going to come back again, and when he comes back again to step foot on this earth, what's he going to do? Conquer it, right? How do we know that? Let me tell you, before we really dive into the trumpet judgments, let me tell you about the longest and most important comma in Scripture, okay? The longest and most important comma in Scripture. Because if you remember, during Jesus' earthly ministry, and if you want to turn and look at this, it's pretty cool. It's in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is at a synagogue and he's going to teach. And so he stands up and he asks for the scroll of Isaiah, right? And he opens it up, and let me read for you out of Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18. This is Jesus talking, red letter stuff. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Okay, did you get that? Let me read it one more time, because I don't think a lot of you are paying attention. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives are set free, that the blind will see, that captives will be released, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He reads that, and I'm going to skip verse 20 and just go straight to 21. After he read it, he sat down and then he said, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this day. And all hell breaks loose. Oh, they get mad. Because what has he done? He's claimed to be the Messiah. He's claimed to be the Messiah. Quoting right out of Isaiah 61. But the problem with it, not the problem with it, why did I say that I was going to show you the longest and most important comma in Scripture? Turn with me to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. This will sound familiar because Jesus was reading it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, comma. That's where Jesus stopped. Let me read it. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, comma, and with it, the day of God's anger against his enemies. That is the rest of Revelation. Do you see how that comma where Jesus paused because he came to the world the first time to bring good news, to proclaim captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. That was his first earthly ministry. His second earthly ministry is dominion, domination, conquering, and he will set himself up as king of the world. Amen. Amen. And that's what it says right here. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Elsewhere in Scripture, this time that we're talking about is called the day of the Lord. Okay? If you ever hear in Scripture the day of the Lord, it's talking about this. Okay? It's talking about this. The wrath of God poured out on humanity. It's talking about this. Remember, Jesus came the first time to the world to save it. The next time he steps foot on this earth, it will be to conquer it. From chapters 4 through 19 in Revelation, the best way I can describe it, and I thought about this yesterday, it came to me, and I don't know if it'll make sense to y'all, but have you ever seen an artillery barrage on TV, you know, where they're shooting those big guns and, you know, things are hitting, or maybe you think back to medieval times when they had the ballistas and the trebuchets and stuff like that. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments are an artillery barrage from heaven onto the earth in order to conquer it. Anytime you, before you send men in, what do? You soften the enemy up, right? Well, there's going to be, when we come back, when Jesus comes back, the enemies have been softened up enough that the cavalry charge that we do, because we're all on horses, the cavalry charge wins it. One charge and we win, right? From chapters 4 to 19 is an artillery barrage to weaken God's enemy at the end and wins. Okay? All right. So we're fixing to go double time. We're fixing to go through these trumpet judgments. Listen, the actual judgments, like last week when we talked about the four horsemen, you know, the seven seal judgments, which the first horse of the seal judgments was the white horse, right? That is not Jesus, that's the Antichrist. The black or the red horse, which is war, the pale horse, which is famine and pestilence, and then you have the black horse, which is death, then you have the cry of the martyrs, and then you have silence in heaven. All six of those things are artillery barrages, even the silence in heaven is an artillery barrage and a judgment against the world. Because remember, Jesus said that every knee would bow to him at some point on this earth. And it hasn't happened yet, so we know that that's a future revelation. Okay, here we go. Turn to Revelation chapter 8 and let's dive into these trumpet judgments, okay? These seven judgments are divided in Revelation chapter 8 into two groups. The first four and the last three, okay? The first four kill one-third of different things on earth, okay? One-third, 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 one-third. And then we'll see in a minute that the final three trumpet judgments are called the terrors or the woes. The Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. Let's talk about it. Okay. This is, okay, just so y'all know, this is what's so hard about Revelation, is that you read a little bit, but you read it and you understand a little bit of it, but you'll never understand it till about seven chapters later when it comes back and explains it. So, like, in order to really accurately teach Revelation to y'all in a way that you could understand, we'd have to be here for about 7 hours and I'd have to go through it, you know, all the way through, because each week people are gone, and man, when you miss stuff, it's crazy. But remember, the book of Revelation in chapter 1 is the only book of the Bible that gives its own outline. Jesus tells John to write about things he has seen, things that happened before that conversation. Then he tells John to write down the things that he's seeing now, and then he says, write down the things that will come after, past, present, and future, right? And as I said in my opening prayer, Revelation is the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to those who teach it and those who hear it, right? Which makes me just wonder why more churches aren't preaching out of Revelation, right? If the pastor's going to be blessed and the people are going to be blessed, let's do some blessing around here, right? But the book and the judgments have a heptadic structure, H-E-P-T-A-D-I-C, heptadic deal. And this really becomes important because remember, seven is a holy number. It's the number of completion, right? 7 days, 7 weeks, all that. Then you have the number three, which is perfection, right? You have one that's a finished work. You have another one that's a perfection. So what we have is three judgments of seven, okay? The first ones are the seal judgments. But here's the, you know what nesting dolls is? Is when you open up one, there's more dolls inside. These are kind of nested because you got the first six seals. When we talked about that, that's the four horsemen and the silence in heaven and the cries of the martyrs. The seventh seal is the seven trumpets. Okay? And what you'll see later on is that the seventh trumpet is another set of seven judgments. So really, the seal judgments aren't going to be finished until the trumpet judgments are finished, because the whole seven trumpet judgments is the seventh seal. But the trumpets can't be finished because the seventh trumpet is the seven bowls. So isn't it amazing how God can take three things, but really it's only one, is it not? It's only one judgment, the seal judgments. Because the seventh seal is the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet is the seven bowls. It's just amazing what God can do to show His perfect, I don't even know what you call it, ways? I don't know. Okay, the first angel blew his trumpet, and the first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood, this is in verse 7, were thrown down on the earth, and one-third of the earth was set on fire, one-third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was burned. Okay? So you have to understand, remember what I said last week about Star Wars? Don't be the little kid that watches Star Wars that has a million robots and be asking your parent, what does that robot do? 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 Because if you do that, you're going to miss the message of the movie. If you are too worried about what's going on in these trumpet judgments and how they're going to happen, you're going to miss the big picture. Okay? So really, the shortest part of this message is listing the six trumpets. That's the easy part, right? It's just one after another. The first one, a third of all the earth was set on fire. One-third of the trees on earth were burned, and all the green grass was burned. Okay? No green grass, and its hail and fire mixed with blood was thrown down. I don't know, okay? You don't either. I've listened to anybody and everybody has their own opinion about what that'll be. I don't know. But what I do know is that's all we need to know about it. That's all we need to know, right? That's all we need to know. Then the second angel, this is in verses 8 and 9 of Revelation 8. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One-third of the water in the sea became blood. One-third of all things living in the sea died, and one-third of all the ships in the sea were destroyed. Okay, so we've got in the first trumpet judgment, we have one-third of the earth was set on fire, one-third of the trees. Second trumpet, third of the sea become blood, third of all living things in the sea died, and one third of all the ships on earth are lost. And these aren't the bad ones. Then the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. So was it a torch? Was it a torch? No, because it wouldn't have said like a torch. If it was a torch, what would it have said? It was a torch. If you see like, they're saying this is the closest we can describe it. Okay? This is the closest we can describe it. Then the third angel blew his trumpet and a great star fell from the sky. What is a star symbolic of? Angels. Okay? This could be an angel. It could be a star. It could be a meteor. I don't know. But what I do know is that the name of the star was Wormwood or Bitterness. Okay? A great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness. It made one third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. Okay? That's the first three. Okay? Now the fourth in verse 12. Then the fourth thing, what is the fraction in all of these? One third, right? Do you remember what the fraction was in the seal judgments? One fourth, right? So the seal judgments were one fourth, one fourth, one fourth, one fourth. The trumpet judgments are one third, one third, one third. What are the bowl judgments? Everything that's left. Everything. Everything that's left. Okay? So this isn't a partial, okay? This is a quarter, a third, all. Okay? Then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one third of the sun was struck, and one third of the moon, and one third of the stars, and they became dark. And one third of the day was dark, and also one third of the night. Okay? Now, I don't know what that means, but I just know that it's going to be dark outside. I mean, it could be volcanoes. It could be a lot of things. I don't know. But everything we need to know is told us, right? Fourth angel blew his trumpet, and the sun was reduced by a third. The moon was reduced by a third. But then, in the very next verse, 13, this is what I was telling you about, how I know that the trumpet judgments are divided into two groups. I didn't just make that up. Okay? Here it is. Revelation 8:13. Then I looked and heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air. Terror, terror, terror. Three. Woe, woe, woe might be what your Bible says. Terror, terror, terror to all who belong to this world because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets. What we're fixing, there's only three more trumpets left, right? We know that one of those trumpets is what? The seven bowl judgments. The other two are demonic armies, okay? That's why they say woe, woe, woe. Because the reason it's a woe about the bowl judgments is actually God's wrath is not in any of the seal or trumpet judgments. His wrath is in the bowl judgments. Okay, so that's why it's the three woes. Two demon armies, and then the seven bowls of God's wrath. So let's look at them. Starting in verse 9, we see the fifth angel. Okay? Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet. Now, who are these angels? If you remember right back whenever the seal judgments were done, when they broke the last seal and it's the seven trumpet judgments, basically the opening of the last seal, the Bible says that the angels were handed trumpets to blow. Okay? Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky. Now, is this a real star, or is this an angel, or something else? Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given. So is this a meteorite, or is this an angelic or something being? It's a being, right? And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. So what you have, a lot of commentaries that I read, if they did try to name that, most people think it's Satan. A star falls from heaven, and he is given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opens it up. Okay? But you have to understand. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm not going to ruin it. That's Revelation 9, 1 through 2. So an angel or an angelic being comes down, is given the key to the bottomless pit. He opens the door to the bottomless pit, and smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. And then in verse 3 it says, then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. Why is that so important? Because nothing has power that does not come from God, right? God is in control of this, people. This isn't willy-nilly where God starts a little grass fire, controlled burn in his front yard, and then ends up burning down the earth on accident. Okay, this is not like that. Everything that happens is under the authority of Jesus Christ and his Father and the Spirit that unites them, right? The Trinity. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They could not, these locusts are forbidden from harming plants, trees, grass, or those with the seal of God on their head. Who are the ones that have the seal on their head? Do you remember that from Revelation chapter 7? The 144,000, 12 from every tribe of the Bible. Now, if you're a true biblical scholar, go look in that list and ask me, and then come and ask me where Dan is. Dan's not listed in that. Pretty crazy. But anyway, if you want an explanation of that, that is a long, long explanation. But I know it. Come talk to me about it if you want to know. Could not harm plants, trees, grass, or those with the seal of God on their foreheads. Revelation 7:3. Remember when I said, do you remember what it is? In Revelation 7:3, during the seal judgments, it says, wait, don't harm the land or the seas or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of the servants. Okay, so these are the 144,000 Jewish believers that are preaching Jesus Christ to the world. The locusts out of the bottomless pit are to torture only those with the mark of the beast. Okay, we haven't even got to the beast yet, okay? But most people have heard that. In the future, after the Antichrist rises to power, he's going to make you put a mark on your forehead or your right hand, and that is the only way you'll be able to do business. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade anything without that mark, okay? The locusts will only attack those with the mark of the beast. They will do it for 5 months, and the Bible says that people will beg to die, but they will be unable to. Couldn't you just throw yourself off a bridge? But it says they won't be able to die. So are they immortal? Now, me, I think of it like this. The sting probably produces a comatose state, you know, something like that. And it looks like they're just fine, but inside, it's like the worst pain imaginable. And they will want to die in their heads, but they won't be able to communicate it or do it. Okay? That's the way I picture that. It could be that you can jump off the Empire State Building and splat and stand up. I don't know. All I know is they can't die from the stings. Okay? All right. Now, these locusts, John describes them as horses prepared for battle. They have crowns on their heads. They have faces of humans. They have women's hair. And they have a king that the Bible names specifically. In Hebrew, the king of the bottomless pit that comes out with the locusts is called Abaddon. In Hebrew, in Greek, it's Apollyon, and in English, it's the destroyer. Listen, this angel, if he's been locked up for all time until now in a bottomless pit with a bunch of locusts with women's hair, trans locusts! I don't know, man. They got the faces of men and women's hair. I don't know, man. It's a crazy time, okay? This is a crazy time, and it just gets crazier. Okay, here we go. No one dies in the first terror. What trumpet is the first terror? Fifth, right? Fifth trumpet is the first terror. Okay, how do we know that? Because in verse 12 it says, the first terror is past. Okay, when people say the Bible's hard to understand, I don't understand it. Right? The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. This is in verse 13 of chapter 9. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill one-third of all the people on earth. Not just the ones with the mark of the beast. One-third of all the people on earth. And I heard the size of the army, which was 200 million mounted troops. Now, if you're asking me if this is demonic or human, yes. I don't know. Like, I'm serious, guys. You think I'm being flippant. We just don't know. This is all we're told. And like one person will say it really is because the Euphrates River is going to dry up. And did you know that in the last 10 years, China and India have become the first countries that could have a 200 million standing army just about up until 200 years ago or 10 years ago. Imagine what John is thinking when he's writing this, that an army is going to be 200 million. That's more than all the people on earth at the time, right? It seemed impossible, but it's gonna happen. And today, it's not that crazy in our grand scheme of things. Listen, the United States has about 350 million people, okay? Do you know how old you will be if you started making $1 every second from the time you were born? How old will you be when you're a millionaire? It's like 12 days or something like that. Do you know how long it will be before you're a billionaire? You'll be 32 years old. If you made $1 every second that you're born, you're gonna be 32 years old before you're a billionaire. United States has about 350 million people in it. China has 1.3 billion. Not million, they have 1 billion more people than we do. China's, or India, not far behind. Okay? So all we know is that there's going to be four angels that are released from the Euphrates River, and they've been prepared for this hour, day, month, and year, and they are turned loose to kill one-third of the people on earth. And these four angels have a 200 million man army with them. Now, if it is a human army, I think they're possessed by demons, okay? And it could be a demon army. I don't know. I don't care, because it doesn't really matter who it is. They're going to kill a third of the people left on earth. Simple as that. But it says that a third of the people will be killed by the fire, smoke, and sulfur that come out of the horse's mouth, okay? I don't understand it. I'm just telling you. But then in verse 20, it says that even despite all of these things, the locusts, the not being able to die, and all of this, that verse 20, chapter 9, but the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Okay? Okay. That finishes chapter 9. Okay. Now, see if I can do this. At the end of the seal judgments, there was like a little break where it said, wait, I forgot to tell you about the 144,000 that we sealed at the very beginning. Right? Well, when you reach chapter 9 or 10, you notice that we've got one trumpet judgment left, right? It will not come until six chapters later, from the end of chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 are all asides to help fill in the blanks of what's been going on. And what's hard about Revelation is if you don't know that, you're going to think it's a continuation and you're fixing to be lost as a goose. That's why you have me, right? So we'll go through this. So before we get to chapter 10, we need to go back and cover some things, okay? Here we go. At the end of the seal judgments that we finished last week that had all the four horsemen of the apocalypse and everything, 3.5 years have passed on earth. See, we read them last week, the white horse, the red horse, the green horse, the black horse, the cries of the martyrs. We just read them. That is a 3.5 year period, okay? Time works differently in heaven than it does on earth. It seems like in heaven they're happening like this, but on earth it's 3.5 years, okay? The tribulation begins with the signing of a peace treaty. The first 3.5 years is really dominated by world peace. Now, there's still going to be wars, okay? Just like it is today. But for the most part, it's going to be, the tribulation doesn't start with the rapture. The tribulation starts with the peace treaty signed with Israel with the Antichrist, okay? So, in Daniel 9:27, you don't have to turn there, you can make a mark, and maybe your book even might have a footnote somewhere, but Daniel 9:27 is where we get that. And this is what it says. The ruler, that's the Antichrist, will make a treaty with the people. Who's the people? Israel, right. The ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. How many years is that? Seven. One set of seven. He's telling you what a set is. It's seven. So, the ruler will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. But after half this time, he will put an end to sacrifices and offerings. So what we know is that during the tribulation time, there is somewhere that the Jews have reinstituted the sacrificial system, okay? But after half this time, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offerings, and as a climax to his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler is finally poured out on him. What will he do? He's going to break that treaty 3.5 years in, and he's going to set himself up to be worshipped. And he's going to put the mark of the beast on everybody. And if you have that mark, you can buy food, you can sell, you can do anything you want, but you have to come and you have to bow down and worship him as God in the Jewish temple. That is the abomination of desecration. Spoken about of the... It is the breaking of the 7-year peace treaty with Israel by the Antichrist. Okay? But listen, I need y'all to know this. That during this study, if you hear something that completely changes your mind about something, don't be afraid of that, because it happened to me this week. And let me tell you what it was. I've talked to Tony and Nate about this, and I gave them wrong advice. I always thought that there wouldn't be that many people saved during the tribulation. Because I found it hard to believe that you didn't believe before, but you do now. I was completely wrong, okay? And I 100% admit it. I was completely wrong, because in all of my studies, the one thing that I cannot. So if you're having some things that I'm saying that kind of goes against what you've always thought or been taught, it's okay. That's normal for this. And if your preacher who has transcribed every single word of the New Testament can learn something new, I think y'all can too. I'm not saying it's this. I'm just saying don't be afraid of changing your mind about something, because I want that to happen. I want heaven to be full. You know, I don't want people going to hell. There's two groups of people during the first 3.5 years that are working their tails off, okay? Number one is the 144,000 Jewish men that we talked about. Revelation 7:9. This is the verse that I always didn't understand who they were talking about. I read the verse. I thought they were talking about the church. They're not talking about the church. They're talking about the tribulation saints. Those that died during the tribulation for God. Okay? Here's the verse. After this, and this is in 7:9, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Those are the tribulation saints. And I will tell you that I would say 99% of every believer during the tribulation will die for their faith. So if you don't want to be killed for your faith, you better get some faith before the rapture. Because if it's after the rapture, good luck, buddy. It's going to be a rough one. Okay, these are the tribulation saints. We will see the 144,000 again when we get to chapter 14. They were introduced in chapter 7 with just a little bit of a verse. Wait, don't forget to seal the 12 tribes. That's all it says. But in chapter 14, we'll learn much more about them. And it seems like they've all been killed. Okay? Now, the other thing that since this peace treaty was signed, the 144,000 Jewish men have been going all over the world preaching Jesus Christ. But there's also what the Bible calls two witnesses. You probably heard about them. Two witnesses that minister for 3.5 years during the start of the tribulation. And we will learn much more about them in chapter 11. Okay? You can always... You want to feel smart sometimes? Revelation 11 is the two witnesses. What does that number look like? 11, right? You can always remember. Revelation 11 is the two witnesses. We'll learn more about them, right? But listen, God's not done with his people. He sent 144,000, and you know who I believe the two witnesses are? Elijah and Moses themselves on this earth preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Okay, we got to go back just a little bit further, okay? Here we go. The rapture of the church is found in the very first opening of Revelation chapter 4. It says, then, which in Greek, it's metatauta, the things that will come. Then, I saw a door open in heaven and a voice said, get up here. That's the rapture in Revelation chapter 4, right? But listen, there is no timeline in the Bible between the rapture and when the tribulation begins. We do not know, okay? But imagine a world where let's just take this room. Every single one of us at some point in time are going to just disappear if the rapture happens. What do you think about airline pilots that suddenly disappear out of the airplane? What about cars that are driving down the highway? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? When the rapture happens, this globe is going to be in chaos, right? Chaos rules. Nations are without leaders. Militaries, the people in charge of the military don't believe in Jesus. That's a scary thought all over the world. This is when the Antichrist comes to power as a world savior. He's going to come in and basically unite the world and say, hey, we got to clean this all up. Everything's going to be okay. I promise you. We'll even sign a peace treaty with Israel and let them start doing their sacrifices and everything. Because after this, we need peace. And he's going to bring it, right? He gets everything going again. And then he will turn on the world. The difficult part about Revelation is trying to keep everything in order when it's talking, right? That's the hard part. But listen, we call this 7-year period the tribulation. But actually, the tribulation, if you really want to get down to it, is the 3.5 years after, the last part of the tribulation. Okay? That is God's wrath. All right. So, it's now, I want you to imagine something. And like I said, this is so difficult. I'm going to try to put some pieces in place. The rapture happens, millions of people disappear, maybe millions more die as a result of that, just from calamity, chaos, and destruction, and whatever, right? But someone comes on the scene to help the world deal with the devastation of the rapture. The first seal was the white horse, right? That brings peace. With all the chaos, wars are starting to break out. The red horse. With everything going on, disease is rampant. dysentery. It's a bad time. The green horse pestilence, right? And then people are dying everywhere. That's the black horse, death, right? Then the fifth seal was the cry of the martyrs, those that after the rapture accepted Jesus and they're still dying, probably even getting killed. And then the sixth seal judgment was the silence in heaven. But listen, the trumpet judgments, as bad as they were, we're talking about a third of everything dies, and then you have two demon armies, shots for the bowl judgments, and we're not going to get to the bowl judgments for like 2 or 3 weeks, right? Because we got a lot to cover between now and then. But the bowls are the only ones that contain God's wrath, okay? If you thought God was mad up until now, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, it gets horrible, people. It gets horrible. But remember, the seventh seal judgment is the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet judgment is the seven bowl judgments. So the seal judgments can't finish until the trumpets do, and the trumpets can't finish until the bowls do, right? We remember that. So next time we're going to talk in depth about chapters 10 through 14, and I don't know if we'll get through all of them. That's 5 chapters, and there's a lot of information on them. But just to give you a little preview of the aside, the break in the overall timeline of the story, in chapter 10, we'll talk about an angel with his foot on the sea and his foot on the land that hands a scroll to John to eat. We'll do that in chapter 10. Then we'll study the two witnesses in chapter 11. Then in chapter 12, we read about the fall of Satan. And then in chapter 13, we will learn about the Antichrist. Finally, we start learning a little bit about him in chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, there are three angels that are told to grab a sickle and go harvest the earth. Okay? So, lots of stuff in here. I understand it. Don't be afraid. If you don't understand it all, you've been giving a good overview of these things. And like I said, guys, I can't teach a theology course to 2,000 people individually, but if you have a question, call and ask, or just get online, okay? Get online. Or if you want some good study stuff, I'll give it to you, you know? So I hope that you are being blessed by this study of Revelation. I think it's very, very important. And I will be honest, I think our time is short. I think our time is short because in the Bible, Jesus said that when you see the fig tree get her leaves, many of that generation will not pass away till they see the second coming of man. Israel became a state in 1948, and it's been 77 years. And the Bible says that a generation is 70 years, 80 if you're lucky. I'm not date setting nothing, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Right? And Jesus all the time says, I will come like a thief in the night. You must be watching. Let me ask you a question. Are you watching? Or are you just going about your little business? Going to work, going home, never thinking about anything. Listen, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And I want every single one of y'all to be prepared when it happens. And our job in light of this information is twofold. Number one, we look and ask Jesus to come back every single day. And the second thing is, we live like he's going to come back today, but we plan like he's not going to come back until our grandkids get here. We don't stop what we're doing because it cannot happen until the fullness of the Gentiles. The Bible says that Jesus will not come back until the fullness of the Gentiles has occurred. That means some of you ain't saved and you're holding up the line. Get on board. My goodness. Let's go to God and pray. God, thank you for who you are. Man, you just love us. You just love us. And God, you love us, but you're not playing either. What you said has consequences. And we were all made eternal. There's no question about that, but there is a question of how that eternity will be spent. Give up a little for everything, or you can hold on to a little and lose it all. The choice is up to us. God, I pray for repentance in our lives. Sin is nothing, God, than a human's attempt to be happy without you. That's what sin is. And God, that is not possible. I pray that we all turn from our sins and turn towards Jesus Christ and repent so that we can go live forever with him while we rule and we reign for 1,000 years before our eternal rest begins. God, Thank you for your message, and thank you for blessing me for teaching it and blessing these for hearing it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.